punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. It is gorgeous out there. 87 degrees, heat index is at 87. Humidity's at 44. The winds are out of the southwest at 8 miles an hour. 13 mile an hour gust. And let's check out some local temperatures here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette. We got 85.5 degrees and no wind here at the studios. Around our listening area, we have, come on, here we go. Looks like the hot spot is Buffalo, Oklahoma at 93. Woodward, you're 90. 89 at Slapout. 86 degrees at the home of the famous Lori Campbell at Arnett. 89 at Camargo. 88 at Hollis, Mangum 88, Hobart 86, Shamrock 85, Wheeler 87, Canadians 86. So anyway, just all in the mid-80s. Looks like it's going to be a gorgeous day out there. So anyway, the wheat drills are fired up. I see they're getting with it. So hopefully we get some more rain this weekend. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later on in the show. Well, let's start out with some futures on grains. Corn, September, $6.68 a bushel. It's up 11 cents. December is $6.62. March is $6.68. May is $6.69. Soybeans, September, $15.88 a bushel. November is $14.55. January is $14.59. And March is $14.60. And so was May, $14.60. Soybean meal, September, $474.80 a short ton. October's $430.90. December's $425.70. And soybean oil for September is 70.5 cents a pound. October's $67.50. And December is $66.45. Hard red winter wheat, September, $8.84 a bushel. December is $8.79. Oats, September is $4.05 a bushel. December is $3.99. Looks like cotton's pretty much where it was yesterday. October is $1.17 and December is $1.14. Let's check out some of the grain prices, cash grain prices, that is, for the state of Oklahoma and Texas. Hard red winter wheat, $8.24. Corn is $7.43. Milo is $6.73. And soybeans are $14.92 a bushel. Well, let's see what is all going on. I got an interesting article. Looks like the United States Department of Agriculture somewhere messed up yesterday in their reporting and caused chaos, but we'll get to that later. Soybean and grain futures jumped in overnight trading on forecasts for dry weather and crop stress in some parts of the United States Corn Belt. Crop stress has been and will continue to be persistent in parts of South Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan into next week. A quarter of the corn, 25%, and soybeans will be left dry, though some showers in the longer-term outlook may reduce the stress. In the Delta region, rains will slow the harvest and loading at ports in the next 6 to 15 days. Little or no rain has fallen in much of Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri in the past week, according to the National Weather Service. Some areas in the Dakotas and northern Oklahoma also were dry in the past 7 days. Just over 76% of Nebraska was suffering from drought conditions as of August 23rd, little change week to week. The U.S. Drought Monitor said in its weekly report yesterday, while the sounds bad, it's actually an improvement from 94% that we're seeing drought conditions 3 months ago. Roughly 72% of Kansas was suffering from drought conditions, also a little change week to week, but up from 65% 3 months ago. Iowa and Illinois, the biggest producers of corn and soybeans in the United States, they were just a mixed bag. About 39% of Iowa was suffering drought this week, unchanged from the previous week, but up from 6.9% 3 months ago. Only 6.7% of Illinois was seeing drought. That's up from 5.2% a week ago and an increase from 0% 3 months ago, according to the Drought Monitor. Soybean futures for November delivery jumped 11.5 cents to $14.42¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $4.50 to $418.80 a short ton, while soybean oil futures was up 0.05 cents to 65.96 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery rose 6¼ cents to $6.56¼ a bushel. Wheat for December delivery added 6 pennies to $7.95 a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures gained 3¾ cents to $8.70 a bushel. The Pro Farmers Crop Tour came to an end with a bang after 4 days, as Minnesota yields were projected above both for the year earlier and the three-year average forecast. Corn yield in the state are expected by tour participants at 190.4 bushels an acre, according to the Pro Farmer in its report. That's up from 177.4 bushels an acre projected last year and up from the average of 181 bushels an acre. Ear counts also were up 3.3% year over year to 103.7, which was a 5% increase from the three-year average. Soybeans also look good in the land of the 10,000 lakes. Tour participants measured 1,100.8 pods in a 3x3 foot square on average, and that's up from 1,027.3 a year earlier and ahead of the average of 1,026.2 on the three-year average. So anyway, this is all according to the Pro Farmer and their tour. Pods in the 3x3 foot row jumped 5.3% from last year and was up 5.1% to 772.7 from the average. Moisture in the state surged 77% year over year and 33% from the normal amount for this time of the year. Pro Farm is expected to release final results from the 4-day tour this afternoon, so I'll get that with you coming Monday. Well, let's check out some weather nationwide. Dense fog is expected in parts of central and southern Minnesota and west central Wisconsin this morning that could reduce visibility and making driving hazard dangerous, according to the National Weather Service. Visibility will be reduced in some areas to less than 1/4 mile. Storms will move into that area this weekend and the best chances in western Wisconsin late tomorrow afternoon. Further south in southern Illinois and Indiana, isolated storms are possible anywhere. Heavy rain and lightning will begin this weekend in those two states. And then there'll be also storms might be possible in parts of eastern and central Missouri this afternoon. And we have a pretty good shot at some storms coming up starting actually tomorrow. 20% chance, but it looks like our best chance will be Sunday night and Monday, and then another really good chance next Wednesday. Hopefully it comes true. You guys have been planting that wheat the last 2 or 3 days. Hopefully it's nice, slow rain like we got last weekend. Well, we have all kinds of things to talk about today. I want to remind everybody that next Thursday, September 1st, is opening day of dove season. So go find your wildlife regulations. Make sure you're following the law. I won't be honest with you. Today, I've been seeing a lot of dove. But today, on my way into check the ladies out here west of town and check on the weaning calves, I've seen more dove than I've seen in years on the roads in the High Line. So anyway, which is illegal to hunt, by the way. I'm not saying go out and hunt the roads. That's not what I'm saying. Because you guys got to understand that Lieutenant James Edward, he's an avid listener of the show. So he watches everything I tell everybody. So that's opening. And also some, I broke the news earlier this week. Coming next Thursday also, Spirit Country, KWFX 100.1. Next Thursday we'll start carrying the Today in Ag show with Jimmy Clark live on their station. Same time we do it right here on 96.5 KECO. So I'm all excited. Hopefully everything, the changeover is very smooth, and it's going to be fun talking to you guys up in the northwestern part of the state, Oklahoma, and maybe even a little bit over there into Kansas. So anyway, this is exciting times for me and the guys here and the guys up there, the ladies and guys. Let me get that straight. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Hopefully I don't mess it up. You guys know how I am. And also, yeah, I just had a text in. Don't forget to get your hip permit before you go blasting those migratory birds next Thursday. So anyway, I'll tell you what, bacon-wrapped dove right now and some fried taters and maybe some cold beverages to go with it actually sounds pretty good. So anyway, big shout out to Rusty Wilson. He's one of the big listeners. Hopefully he'll hook me up and we'll get to go dove hunting and do a little cookout up there at the Ponderosa. There's up there in Roger Mills County. When I come back, we'll talk about cattle and the live market report. And I got the report from Woodward yesterday, and cattle is up again yesterday. Anyway, good times ahead. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 22nd. 1,015 head were sold, 14 head of steers at 369 brought 233, 10 at 440 brought 190, 18 at 608 brought 193, 8 at 700 brought 172, 6 at 755 brought 177, 5 head of heifers at 364 brought 185, 5 at 551 brought 156, 12 at 696 brought 176.25, 8 at 936 brought 147, 35 at 721 brought 172.50. Butcher cows were 41 to 92.50. 50 butcher bulls brought 79.50 to 120. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 19th. 2,553 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 270 brought 221. 7 at 453 brought 193. 6 at 548 brought 185. 5 at 686 brought 151. 6 at 836 brought 165.50. 3 head of heifers at 318 brought 181. 5 at 406 brought 185. 13 at 489 brought 176. 6 at 552 brought 168. 8 at 771 brought 155.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 93. Butcher bulls brought 52 to 117.50. Bred cows were 750 to 1225. Pairs brought 760 to 1500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yeah. Looks like the temperatures are basically same. Well, Hollis and Mangum and Holbert, you guys are all almost to 90. You're at 89 degrees. Woodward, you're 90. Elk City, you're 88. Eric, Oklahoma, 87. Cheyenne is 65. Arnett is 87. Who is that town right there? Beaver, 90 degrees. And it looks like, again, it looks like that Alva and Buffalo, you're the hottest place in the state of Oklahoma at 92 degrees, but everybody else is not very far behind you. So anyway, let's check out what was going on the cattle market, the live cattle and the feeder cattle and the hogs here real quick. Live cattle for August, up. It's the only one that's up. The rest of them are down, but just slightly. The feeders are down about $1.70, but August is 141.25, October is 143.15, December is 149.17, February is 153.97, feeder cattle for September 182.45, October 183.82, lean hogs October 22 is $90.60, December 82.70, February is 86.17. All right, let's check out what happened at Woodward yesterday. Pretty interesting. I'm going to do it again this week about the unwinged and the wings, just to give you a feel for what the difference in the price is. Taking them in there off the mamas or feeding them out for about 30 to 60 days and getting them winged off. Total receipts for Woodward this week was huge, 3,153 head compared to last week, 2,988 head. A year ago, at Woodward, Mr. Nine sold 2,235 head. Compared to last week, feeder steers steady to $2 higher, feeder heifers $1 to $3 higher, steer calves mostly steady to $5 higher, but the heifer calves was $3 to $5 lower. Demand was moderate. Supply included 100% feeder cattle, with 63% of those being over 600 pounds that was sold yesterday in Woodward, Oklahoma. All right, let's check out some of this stuff here. All right, so we have some 381 pounders that were winged, brought 211. And then we had some unwinged ones that was weighing 362, brought anywhere from $2 to $2.19 a pound, about the same price. Some 424 pounders that was winged brought $215.57, average price. They was bringing up to $221. Some unwinged was at $424, same weight, $194 to $220, $206.59. Was the average price for the unwinged one. So not a whole lot of difference there. Let's go down here to the 500 pounds, and these are steers, 528 unwinged, brought anywhere from 184 to 208. 539 pounders unwinged, brought anywhere from 175 to 192. Then we come down here to your 600 pounders. We had some 617 winged, brought up to $1.90. And then we had some 633 pounders that were unwinged, brought up to $1.91. 700 pounders, 180 to 186, 721 weights, 776 pounders were bringing up to 180. And then they had just a couple calves come through there that wasn't winged at 765. They brought $1.55, so they took a pretty good hit there. 800 pounders, 834s, brought 162 to 177. Some 887 pounders, these are steers, brought anywhere from 171.50 to 176.50. 900 pounders, they had some 927s that brought 161 to 174. And 1,000 pounders brought 165. Let's see what was going on with the heifers. All right, some 341 pounders unwinged brought $1.90. Some 387 pounders that were winged $1.85. 431 pounders that were unwinged $1.87. Winged 476 pound heifers brought $1.90. Then we get down here in the 500 pound range. 523s winged brought up $1.84, and some unwinged that weighed 530 $1.79. Get down here in the 600-pound range. We had some 622 weights, brought 165 to 185.50. And then we had some unwinged ones that weighed 634, 155 to 166. 700-pounders, 720 average weight, big load there, 162 to 172.75, with 170 being the average. And then I don't know what the deal was on these heifers. It seems an awful big hit here. They weighed 720, must not have been very good quality, brought $1.47. 800-pound heifers were bringing up to $1.68, and then some 900-pounders were bringing up to $1.30. And then on the bulls was kind of crazy here. They had some medium and large number ones. Bulls, big load here that averaged 320, brought 241, 364, 216, 415, brought up to 217. 520s up to $1.90, and had some pretty good sized loads of bulls that was weighing 577, brought up to $1.77. All these were unwinged, totally unwinged. Here's the only thing that wasn't weaned, and it was 629 pound medium and large number one bull, brought $1.75, and had some 700 pounders that brought up to $1.52 that were unwinged. So anyway, there you have it. That's your report from the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday. Elk City is going on right now. Not too late to get over there, check out what's happening. See, I don't know how many, I haven't heard any rumors how many was out there today. And then tomorrow, Livestock Auction will be going on at Hobart, or Hollis. And then Monday, back to the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction there, east of Clinton on I-40. Again, I'm going to remind you guys, pretty constant, that there will not be a sheep and goat auction at the Hobart Stockyards next Saturday, because it's Labor week from tomorrow, because it's Labor Day weekend. They will be having it September 10th at 11 a.m. So for any questions, just give Mr. Rex Fleming a call down there at the Hobart Stockyards. They'll hook you up. And then his sale will be coming up again next Wednesday for the cattle. Again, September 10th at 11 a.m. for the sheep and goat auction. It will not be next weekend because of Labor Day. When I come back, I'm going to tell you that news that I was talking about earlier about the Ag Department and some of their stuff that was released yesterday that caused a little bit of chaos in the futures in the markets, and they had to retrack it. So anyway, we'll talk about that when I come back. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Currently, we are 86 degrees here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center in my studio that I'm speaking from right now. 43% humidity. Winds are 5 miles an hour straight out of the south, it looks like. So anyway, I hope you, the big long ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly, provide it to you from Hobart Farm and Garden down in Hobart, Oklahoma. All right, well, did you guys get your pick up your copy of the new Penny News that came out hot off the press yesterday? So you better get it picked up. Anyway, there's there it is right on the front page, the sheep and goat auction from Hobart. It's big ad right there on the front page, and a lot of good things in the Penny News. And I was strolling through here a while ago, and bam, there's the Today in Ag dual page in there. And my tip of the week: fall rains have arrived, get those drills greased up. So anyway, I know some of you guys already doing that. And if you go back here, there's a pretty good auction coming up, so as soon as I can get to it without it. It's a consignment auction, and it's going to be down there at Cordell, east of United Supermarket, or 1 mile north of the Tractor Supply in Cordell. There's a lot of good equipment in there. MX Auction is doing the auction, and there's lots of good looking tractors in there that's going to be on that auction. And they got all kinds of trailers, utility vehicles, and lots of stuff going on. Anyway, so get your copy of the Penny News. Well, you know, we're live here on KCO. Next week we'll be live on KWFX 100.1. The Spirit Country, they call them up there, will be there. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KCOFM.com. So there's no reason for you to miss any of the show or go back and listen to it. So anyway, well, let's see here. There we go. The U.S. retracts agriculture data after faulty release sends traders scrambling. This happened yesterday. The U.S. Department of Agriculture retracted weekly commodities export data it had released earlier on Thursday after a technical misstep left traders scrambling and caused a lot of uncertainty in the futures market. The government said in a statement, a new system to publish the weekly export sales report had encountered challenges that affected the physical part of the export sales data as well as the data quality. The retraction came after commodity markets closed for the day and hours after the initial release that traders had immediately questioned. The export sales report, which is a week-long which has a week-long delay, is a key indicator for traders, input suppliers, and farmers, as it highlights recent demand for crops such as corn, soybeans, and wheat at a time of tight global supplies. It calculates the sales of U.S. commodity goods to international customers such as China and Mexico. The data was set to release at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time via the USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service, the FAS website, but on Thursday morning, the report for the week ending August 18 was not online. Instead, the site had a message about the agency launching a new export sales reporting maintenance system and several broken web links. When I saw there was a trouble rollout, I kind of discounted anything that came out, said Greg Turner, a grain broker for StoneX. How much can we trust it with the issues that we've had? Here's one of the examples. The USDA reported sales of soybeans, the soys of soybeans, from the upcoming harvest nearly four times larger than the high pre-report analyst estimate, and net upland cotton sales total 1.9 million bales, up from 49,000 bales last week. The USDA prefaced the email report with a disclaimer saying there could be some bad data released in that transition in the new system. Some analysts apologized for sending faulty data to clients, and there you go. Well, everybody makes a mistake. How's that? Another deal from the USDA. Over the course of the next several weeks and months, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said that agency will be working on figuring out the best way to approach the issue of how to help economically distressed farmers maintain and keep their farming operations, and also how the USDA might be able to continue the effort that has been underway for a number of years in compensating farmers for aspects of discrimination. We have work to do, for example, in assisting economically distressed farmers, ranchers, and producers stay on land and farming with debt relief offered under the provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act. And certainly more work needs to be done to compensate those who have suffered discrimination in the past at the USDA. With funds also provided under the Inflation Reduction Act, we understand that this is important work that must be done thoughtfully but without delay. What once read as the debt relief for farmers of color now reads as assistance for certain farm borrowers, which allows USDA to provide $3.1 billion to distressed USDA borrowers whose agriculture operations are at risk. Through this section, the USDA can provide loan modifications and payments to distressed borrowers with the goal of keeping farmers farming. The new law also modifies Section 1006 of the American Rescue Plan Act to provide $2 billion in financial assistance to farmers who have experienced discrimination in the USDA lending programs, such as those who were found to be discriminated against under the historic Pedfer cases. Anyway, Vilsack, in a call with the media day before yesterday, explained that Congress recognized there are a number of borrowers who are distressed and who were distressed prior to the pandemic. Currently, there is a moratorium on any kind of adverse action to be taken against the farmers for any direct borrowing, for example, with the Farm Service Agency. However, Vilsack said at some point in time, the moratorium will be lifted when the public health emergency is lifted, like sometime coming up in this October. We are certainly focused on making sure that we have in place ideals and thoughts about how best to proceed and to help and assist those distressed farmers who, when the moratorium is lifted, could be faced with possibility of foreclosure or additional action. Vilsack said there are over 100,000 loans, or roughly 22% of the borrowers, under USDA's direct loan program and a variety of guaranteed loans who have been or currently are delinquent or have had struggles. After the passage of the American Rescue Plan, the FSA sent out letters to potential borrowers who could qualify for the aid. Vilsack states this is a different approach and a completely different program. This new inflation program has nothing to do with it. It's not a continuation. It's not an extension, he said. It's not a modification. It's not something you can build off of with a program is rescinded. He explains, the new program requires a lot of thought in terms of how Congress did specifically define what it meant by distress. The secretary adds the agency will be doing due diligence in terms of trying to figure out who should qualify for loan forgiveness and try to be creative with the resources provided by Congress in determining the definition of distress. Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack also said the agency will utilize a process that is designed to hear input to provide to the brightest and the best ideas from not just inside the USDA, but from outside the USA. I'm going to say from outside the U.S., not outside the U.S., from just people outside of the Department of Agriculture. Well, there you have it. That's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. And then we got, there we go. All right. Got a bright idea for you guys. I was reading this article this morning, and my light bulb went off in my head. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Let's see what you guys think about this. There was an article in the Drovers magazine about swath grazing. And I got to thinking, well, you know, we don't have much to swath over here in the fall, like stubble and stuff like that. And then I got to thinking, Jimmy Clark, use your head because you're wrong, because there's a lot of milo, sorghum stuff being grown right now, corn. There's a lot more corn grown in western Oklahoma than you think there is. But it kind of made sense to do this. So this is a short story before we go to break, and I'll see what you guys think about it. I want to hear your opinion after I get through this story. And the Today in Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697. But here we go. Feed makes up the largest expense on a cow-calf operation. In addition to the initial expense, producers need to consider the storage and waste associated with winter feeding. And this is up in northern United States about this article, but I think it could be utilized around here too. As expenses increase and producers evaluate more efficient management techniques to lower production costs, one alternate way may be to incorporate swath or windrow grazing. Swath grazing can be utilized with various crops and can improve utilization of the crops for feed while decreasing fuel, harvest, and feeding costs, and almost improving soil health. Swath grazing is a practice of cutting hay, whether it's small grains or forage crops, and leaving them in windrows for livestock to graze during the winter months. Rather than having the expense of baling the hay up, moving it off the field, and feeding it in the winter, the feed is left in the windrows. And cattle are allowed access to a limited number of windrows at a time, and as a means to reduce winter feed costs. And also, at the same time, it increases the soil fertility. Swath grazing has its benefits in the Midwest, where colder temperatures and snow accumulation regularly occur. And utilizing a small grain crop such as, but not limited to, millet, Sudan, and sorghum, swath grazing may provide an additional opportunity to utilize that forage. This study from the Iowa State University evaluated forage quality and the utilization of swath grazing on the cow herd. Millet and sorghum were harvested in late July as a hay crop, allowed to regrow, and then the regrowth was cut and raked in late December for a swath grazing trial. Cows in their third trimester of gestation were moved from corn stalk residue to the swaths, where they grazed in a similar method to intensive grazing. Cows were given enough swaths to graze for 3 days at a time, then the fencing was moved and the cows were given access to the next section. Cow behavior became similar to that of an intensive grazing system as cows became trained and knew what to do when they were moved. The logistics of moving the fence during the winter can be a challenge, the report says, but depending on temperatures and the situation, so take that into consideration as ground temperature will affect fencing. And all they were doing, they had one string of hot wire up and looked like they had a post every 30 or 40 steps versus the 10 to 15 normal steps for hot wire. They were just, if a cow got out, big deal, but it didn't look like they were having a lot of trouble. But most important deal here is the nutrient value of the feed did decline towards the end of February when the cows were switched over to TMR. However, they saw no detrimental effects of the calves as a result. Cows were able to utilize the feed with up to 12 inches of snow accumulation and temperatures of minus 20. Forage utilization was 70%, which makes swath grazing a cost-effective option in comparison to put them forage in the bales. With swath grazing, operating equipment and labor decreased as harvesting and moving bales and manure hauling are minimal. The study also found that the grazing crop residue was minimal and did not affect the growth of perennial forage crop, thus allowing grazing to occur on the hay field or permanent pasture. Something to think about. Anyway, coming up after the break, your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And I see one of my favorite ladies from up north is texting me. I'm going to check out what she's doing today since she's going to be in both areas. She can listen to 96.5 KECO or she can listen to the Spirit Country KWFX 100.1. She can listen to me all the time now. She'll probably have two radios on. See if they match up. Anyway, I'll see what she's got to say. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, August 23rd, we sold 1,055 cow bulls and kids. Thursday, August 25th, we sold 3,153 kids and feeders for a total of 4,208 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows, 94 up to $1. Thin cows bring 75 to 96, with their bulls bringing 90 up to 118. 2-day-year-old bred cows, 850 to 1075, with their 2-day-year-old pairs, 1075 to 1800. Hunter steer cattle, 3 to 4 weight steers, $2 to 233. 4 to 450 steers, 194 to 220. 5 to 550, 184 to 208. 6 to 650, 180 up to 191. 7 to 750, 180 to 186. 8 to 850 steers, 162 to 177. 9 to 950, 161 to 174. And 14 steers weighing 1,010, bring 165. Hunter heifers, 3 to 4 weight heifers, 172 to 190. 4 to 450, 178 to 187. 5 to 550, 157 to 184. 6 to 650 heifers off the cow, 155 to 166. Yearlings, 165 to 185. 7 to 750 heifers, 162 to 172, 75. 8 to 850, 165 and a quarter to 168. And 900 to 1,000 pound heifers, 128 to 129.50. For this Tuesday, August 30th, we will have a very good selection of bred cows and pairs. We've got 50 bred cows, and pairs off of one deal, 3 to 6 years old, another 60 bred cow, 6 to 10 years old, and 30 other bred cows, 6 to 8 year old. More by sell time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp, Thanksgiving Jury 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, let's check out the weather. Looks like, come on, fire up. What's going on here? Come on, don't make me go to my iPhone. We're not on dial-up here, but we're having a few issues going right here. Anyway, let me just go over here to this one. Yeah, let's go back over to the National Weather Service. I like the Mesonet. It's easy to read. All right, today, sunny with a high near 91, southeast winds 6 to 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 67, south wind 6 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 91, south wind 7 to 14 miles an hour with gust up to 21. Are you listening, Lori Campbell? She's the one that texted me a while ago, and she was looking for some wind to fill up windmills to fill up her water tanks. Tomorrow, 21 miles an hour, so it's going to be probably a little bit stronger up there where you're at. Anyway, 20% chance of rain tomorrow night, 20% chance of rain. And same winds, you're going to have some winds tomorrow night. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 o'clock. Mostly sunny with a high near 94. South winds 10 to 15 miles an hour, increasing 16 to 21. Wind gusts could be as high as 30 miles an hour or higher Sunday. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night. Monday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 92. Most of those storms will be after 1 o'clock. Monday night, 40% chance of thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 66. Tuesday, another chance of showers, high near 88. Wednesday, another chance, 20%, highs near 85. And Thursday, another chance of thunderstorms with a high near 82. So the temperatures are creeping backwards finally. Anyway, I was listening to the one of those commercials from one of my sponsors, Cattle King Manufacturing, and I was looking through on their Facebook page, and I don't know if you guys have stopped by there here south of Elk on 6 Highway and looked at those Hughes trailers. You talk about some tanks. They look like they could handle about anything. But I was scrolling. There's a big old new red one in there, a 36 footer, and I was looking through there. And then I noticed some sales. He's got some people's bought some trailers. Looks like Baylor Newcomb got him a half top 24 footer. And then looks like Lake. I graduated with Link. That's why I said that. So anyway, Lake looks like he hooked onto a new 36 foot Hughes trailer down there. So anyway, congratulations to you guys. And They're buying local and supporting local businesses. So you get a chance, go down there and talk to Wes Graham, south of Elk, and check out those trailers because they are extremely nice, but they're built for what they get done with. Well, then back to Miss Lori Campbell up there, Arnett Way. She said she was just kind of letting me know what she was doing. She was out checking water, need a little wind to make my windmills pump. Understand that. But she's going to Cheyenne tonight down there at Roger Mills, if anybody's interested. And she's going to judge the Roger Mills County Fair Horse Show. It starts at 7 o'clock at the arena there on the west side of town. So if anybody wants to come watch, go do it. I had a company coming in, so I can't go. But anyway, so anyway, they got the Roger Mills County Fair Horse Show going on tonight right there in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. So that ought to be pretty good. Anyway, thanks, Lori, for that information. Okay, what is time? Oh, we got a whole 5 minutes left. I don't know what to do with all this time. Oh, I know what to do with it. Anyway, well, finally, Jerry Nine, he always writes a big story on the first page of the Today in Ag page on the Penny News. Well, I hadn't read one in a couple of weeks, so I read this, and so I'm going to read it to you because not everybody picks up the Penny News, but you need to. Anyway, We were talking about husbands and wives sorting cattle together. This got to fit you and Lori. This ought to fit you and Jeremiah pretty good. But anyway, in the conversation, we discovered there are many things that a husband should not say to his wife when sorting together. And it's true. One husband said his wife did not appreciate it, and as a matter of fact, she went to the house after he announced to her, I'd love to sort them twice. That was after he felt she let too many go by that was supposed to go in the pen. Another man said his wife hollered, I cannot read your mind. Anyway, another story was a father and son was sorting together, and the son is about 40 years old, when all of a sudden the father looked up and the son was in his pickup driving down the road. So the dad called him and said, hey, we're not through sorting cattle. The son said, I am, and I'm not going to listen to your crap. After he was frustrated, another husband said to his wife, I'd rather sort with two blind dwarfs. Needless to say, that was 30 years ago, and she hadn't helped him since. One friend just told me, you can't say dwarfs, and I said, I don't think too many dwarfs read this. Another husband said to his wife, and shouldn't have, what part of catch and buy do you not understand? Another wife was about ready to walk off and go to the house when she said, I can't read your mind looking at your butt. Another wife walked off after her husband announced, swing the gates. That's what it has hinges for. My sister and her husband were sorting cattle together when they said they had been only married 2 weeks. She was back behind them trying to get them to come down the alley, but wasn't having any luck. He said, just flop your arms and holler. And so in a little bit, he jumped up over the fence to show her how, and as luck would have it, a calf ran back over the top of him, knocking him down. She said if they'd been married longer, she probably would have laughed, but did her best not to. Last but not least, another gal that runs cattle had her boyfriend holding the gate when she finally had to stop and tell him, you cannot make the call by or in if you're holding the gate. Hopefully this will save a few marriages. However, one husband just told me that he's learned one thing, just say nothing. There you have it. Yeah, I got my experience with that. I've heard some experiences with that stuff. But anyway, we got a few minutes left, and let's see what we got going on. I don't want to do that. But I am. I'm totally stoked about next Thursday. We're going live on another. We're going to have the whole Western Oklahoma and parts of the Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma totally covered. So anyway, we'll just get by with that. Well, real quickly, end up, the roller coaster ride continues regardless of the industry. Commodities are experiencing extreme volatility. All traders bounce between headlines of resilient labor markets, gauging inflation, fears of recession, weather, and geopolitics tensions, political tensions rising around the world. Concerns of a China economic slowdown this week sent rumbles through global markets as they lowered interest rates to keep the economy stimulated. One thing seems certain is the inflation control, economic stability, and security from international threats are going to be top platform topics. We also have this farm bill coming up next year to renegotiate in 2023. This will again be a fight among urban and the increasing underrepresented rural constituents of the importance of the government support. Politics aside, if buyers are willing to pay agriculture people fair values for carbon reduction, we need to try to figure out. We might as well get some of them payments as far as I'm concerned. U.S. corn and soybean crop conditions declined slightly from last week, and with the spring wheat conditions remain unchanged, although that harvest there is way behind. So we got lots going on in the ag world, and I'll try to keep you guys up to date on it. You have a great weekend and be safe. Like I said, if you're not doing anything, head to Cheyenne tonight. And at 7 o'clock, the arena out there west of town. Watch Miss Lori Campbell judge the Roger Mills County Horse Show. Anyway, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Have a great one, and God bless.